Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B, and today I'm joined by a special guest, someone that I was actually on his podcast. He's part of a duo, a Bravo-specific podcast. You do like RuPaul's Drag Race, and...
We dabble into some other things that we like, but it's mostly Bravo by this point, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I listen to it for. His name is Brendan M. Johnson, and it is Come Through Queen. That's the name of the podcast. His cohort, is it Dan Calabresi? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, and I actually think you mixed my name up with someone else's. You said Brendan M. Johnson. It's Brendan Davis, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No worries. I think you mixed me up with George M. Johnson.
No, it's someone from work, actually.
So that's so funny.
Emails. That's so funny. I was at the Brendan Johnson on the brain. Anyways, how was your Pride?
It was good. Pride Month was just really long because I actually like work in the LGBT space.
Yeah.
But Pride weekend was fun. I ended up at a Pride party that was like low key, just at a house. And it was kind of like itched that scratch I had. I didn't do any of the like big ticketed events or anything like that because I don't understand the ticket culture.
No, and neither do I.
Okay. How was your Pride?
It was hectic. I didn't really do that much. And like the latest I would stay out is like 2 a.m. I guess that's pretty late still, but that's, you know, not compared to most gays. I hosted a pool party on Sunday at the One Hotel. So that was really fun. There were RuPaul's Drag Race girls there. It was like Simone, right? And yes. Gigi Good.
Yes. Simone just won the show. Yes.
Okay. People really love her. I watched the show, as you know.
Yes.
I can't take that on. I totally support the RuPaul's arts, but I it's so intimidating to like start that because I feel like you have to like know so much.
And now there's like 4,000 iterations. Yeah. It's in every country now. It's almost like there's Drag Race on at every point in the year. So you don't even get a break if you are truly invested.
It's like Bravo.
Yeah, exactly.
I could always take more Housewives though.
Yeah, I think they should open up a couple more cities, in my opinion.
Just because some of the old ones now are so bad.
And like Potomac's proving that Potomac of the newer ones has it, and it's exciting and it's not stale like some of the other ones are getting. I mean, OC this year was pretty unwatchable.
Yeah. You watch it though because you have to.
Yes, and I'm really excited Heather Bro is returning.
I actually am too. She was never my favorite, but I think that she was like the last time that someone was like actually aspirational on a show like that. You know what I mean? Like people watched it and they were like, wow, she's got a lot of money. Like, you know, when she left, it was really just like, okay, now it's a bunch of podunk women living in like a gated community that's garbage.
I know. And we haven't seen her giant house yet. Though if you've looked at her YouTube, which I have, you can see the house for her, but
yeah,
it'll be nice to see her family living in it. So that's exciting.
And her kids are like grown now too, which is like insane.
Yeah. And I think from what I hear, a lot of them are queer.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like at least one is out and bi, but I think some of the others might be as well.
Bronwyn is shaking.
I know for sure.
So Pride, it's finally, today's the last day, but the mayoral race, we're just getting like results back last night. Who knows if they're like accurate or what? Do you know what I don't even know what the update is on that. Like, I heard that like Garcia could like neck and neck be with like Adams, which could be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. I just like the entire saga with Eric Adams and does he live in Bed-Stuy or doesn't he?
Like, it's like that photo of the bed, him in a room with like the bed in the middle of the room.
Yeah, and like the shoes near the door. And I looked it up and I live in Bed-Stuy. He lives like just a couple blocks from me lives. Yeah,
allegedly, so, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know his address?
There was a picture of him in front of his house and had the number on it. And then it's like reported.
Literal.
I know it's reported like what street he lives on. So
that's crazy.
Just some sleuthing.
No, I know that they like last night they were talking about election results and then the city actually wrote and said, please be patient. There's discrepancy. I was like, this is such a shit show. So we had like forever to get this right. And of course, naturally.
Between that and the like panicked Amber Alert we just got, warning of blackouts. New York City is a mess.
It is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of the candidates were a mess. I mean, you don't have to tell me who you voted for, but I just went down pretty much and voted for anyone that was female because I'm sick of this shit. But it was like Wiley, Garcia, you know, just down. There weren't that many, but
Yeah, I ranked Wiley and Garcia and stayed away from the men.
And then pretty much because Wiley was like third, pretty much, a lot of her votes would then go to Garcia, because who in the right mind that would vote for Wiley would also vote for Adams.
Right, exactly. You know? So, it's just so interesting. And of course, the first time they do this is an utter shit show, but we'll see.
Absolutely. We'll see. Yeah. Whatever will be. Can't be much worse. Couldn't get worse. Right. At least it's not Yang.
I know. I know. And like the world, but
you know how much I hate him.
I know. I know. But anyone who wants to sign up to be mayor of New York City, I mean,
to be certifiable.
Exactly. It's the most thankless job. Everyone ends up hating you. It's like me and my friend were joking, like, which one of these people am I going to vote for so that I can eventually hate them in
hate
a year?
Them. Yeah. 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 Is there a housewife that you think if you had to put a gun to your head, not like from any specific city, but like across the board that you would appoint to be mayor, would it be Barbara Kay? Would it
be? I know she tried.
Yeah.
I think a few months ago I would have said Bethany, but after watching The Big Shot with Bethany, I'm realizing that is all a house of cards.
Yeah.
As well. You know,
Bravo really made her look good. Like, I mean, it was really like, I could only stomach about 3 episodes of that show. It was so chaotic. Anyone that's ever been in a toxic work environment, that is like not the show for you. It's like triggering. It's
it's wild that Bravo made her look better than she made herself look.
Yeah, because I don't think she has a clear, I don't think that Bethany has like an accurate like idea of how she comes off to people.
Right.
I think she thinks that it's one thing, and I think they really did her a lot of favors to try to, because she's marketable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just you have to like edit her in the right way. You know what I mean? And she's got really good talking. She's got the strongest talking head, kind of like of any housewife, I think.
She's so quick, and she was the underdog, but once she got into that position of power, it's like she lost all of that to me. To answer your question, though, I think Candy Burris is the only name that is coming to mind of someone who I could handle being mayor.
A woman of the people.
A woman of the people. She's just got like tons of businesses going. She's getting money from Ed Sheeran for songs. She like, I think she knows how to play the game, and she's a calming force.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably vote for her too.
Yeah.
Speaking of politics, Trump org is supposed to be charged tomorrow. Did you see that news?
I did not, but I'm so excited.
So excited it's happening. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is expected to charge them and its chief financial officer with tax-related crimes on Thursday. People close to the matter say, yeah, I think it's Weisselberg, right? It's Weisselberg is the chief financial officer and potentially Trump. But I don't know. I'd be happy with just the organization.
Yeah. Anytime something like this comes up, I fear will get my hopes up. So I'm like staying back, not watching it too closely right now. I don't want to like a Joy Behar, like freak out moment where she thinks something happened that it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. It's a busy week. Anything could happen, right?
We'll see. I say clink, clink.
Bill Cosby, the opposite of clink, clink.
I could not believe when I saw that news today.
It's today.
And then
just, in case anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, Bill Cosby was just released from prison after the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania vacated his 2018 conviction on sexual assault charges. It was only actually one charge, as one person, I think. It was like he was sentenced to 10 years in state prison for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman, Andrea Castand. But I mean, there were like literally, it was like 60 women also accused him. How does
dozens
that the one?
Dozens and dozens. I mean, I think it's hard with like statute of limitations. The law makes it really difficult to like actually pin these guys down, unfortunately. Uh-huh. Yeah. But his former co-star stepped in it. Did you see her tweet?
Felicia.
Yeah.
Felicia. Well, I know, but she's been that way, right? She's always defended him.
I think openly. So. I think so. But like to tweet it, it's like, what do you think you're doing?
Bye, Felicia.
Exactly. So sad.
I know. And I like loved the Cosby Show when I was like young. I was very young, by the way. So, I mean, you know, I'm not that age. Great show.
Did you know that Bill Cosby, and this is all alleged, according to someone in my family, owned a townhouse on the same street as Epstein's townhouse?
Really?
Yeah. So it was like,
where did it? Oh, like in the Upper East. Was it the Upper East Side?
Upper East Side. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
They were neighbors back in the day.
That seems Googleable.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone would know.
Me throwing Epstein into this, but okay. I just watched the Ghislaine documentary that came out, or was it? It was like a 2020 special that came out the other day.
Oh, really?
I'm really so interesting.
I just want both of them to like die. I mean, mm-hmm. we're halfway there, but yeah.
Sorry. Her brother spoke out in support. Oh, that's right. In the 2020 thing.
And he looks weird.
I know.
I mean, she looks weird. They look alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carol Radziwill.
Yeah.
Quite close.
I know. Close. She's spoken about it a couple times recently, uh-huh. and she's like trying to distance, but like the author photo thing is kind of damning, yeah. right?
Definitely. And then also, I mean, she should just distance herself from her own social media presence. I mean, she should just like lock herself out of her account because she's really stepping in it in 2020.
She used to be one of my favorites back yeah. in the day, like when she first yeah. joined, because she was like the cool girl, but like she's really jumped out the window.
Really made Bethany likable.
I know, really. Sadly.
Speaking of social media presence, last night, Madonna took to her Instagram to go on Instagram stories and post a side-by-side. Did you see this? A side-by-side yes. photo of herself making out with Britney and Christina, with juxtaposing it against Lil Nas X making out with another black man on the stage at the BET Awards that happened earlier this week.
And she said something like,
hashtag did it first.
It's like, Madonna, there's nuance to this situation. So you did not do it first. Actually, you did something.
You did something and it was for show. But like him doing this is like absolutely nothing to do with you. You don't need to like insert yourself, center yourself into this conversation that is happening. And also exactly. like why it was like, there's so many levels to it. It's like, why would you use Britney? Like, and don't even right. mention Free Britney. You haven't even right. spoken out on Free Britney, but you will post a photo of her to make a point about how you did something.
It's bad all around. And it's just like, some of these celebrities really need to get their social media like presence in check and like hire someone maybe. And yeah. like,
yeah.
do some workshopping or some editing when you have an idea for a post.
I do social media management. I mean, it's just kind of stuff really like is like, it's so easy to just mm-hmm. like not tweet something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to have a thought about every single thing that happens. Let other people make those comparisons if you want and be shot down, but like, please don't.
Yeah.
I feel like she was in people's good graces after Pride weekend and she did that whole thing. Oh, was that party miserable? I heard people were peeing in cups.
Yep. I tweeted that. Sorry. I deleted it right after, just cause I didn't want, you know,
mm-hmm.
but no, it was really miserable. I actually talked about it on the last episode of that's I think coming out like today or something, but, yeah, no, it was miserable. There were like people peeing in cups. It was the most crowded party I've ever been to in my entire life in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Leah was there. We were talking and it was just like claustrophobic. We just looked at each other and we were like, let's leave now.
Oh, yeah. I heard her. She talked about it. She didn't mention you, but she talked about it on Watch Happens Live last night.
Oh, did she? The party? With, or?
Yeah, she talked about being Andy there because Andy was there. And then
he was there.
I heard on his radio show, he cleared up a bunch of things that were tweeted about him by people.
About
like people
what?
Were claiming that he was like pulling twinks into a VIP area. And he was like, actually, those are like my friends. And those twinks yeah. are my friends.
That sounds like me. Those twinks are my friends. Love that.
Yeah, because I psychotically pay for Sirius XM radio, even though I don't have a car, because I like listening to like two shows on there. It's
okay.
weird. Yeah, it's stupid, but. It's
is he the show? Is his, because how many shows, does he have a bunch of different shows that he does?
He does two
times.
He has
times one with Jon Hill, right?
Yeah, he does that two times a week. Do you know who Michelle Collins is? You probably
I
know
do.
Her. Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm.
She has a radio show five times a week. So
I used to date Jon.
Oh,
he has the show with, yeah.
Oh, it's a small gay world.
Small gay world. That's how I know Andy.
Oh,
that's,
fun.
Yeah, it's a whole small gay world. Yeah, I've listened like I mean to clips of his show, but I don't have Sirius.
Yeah, but. I don't know why I still pay, but it is who I am.
Yeah. Well, it's research. Should write it off.
Exactly.
End of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nas cleared things up, I guess. Seemingly, I think it was either late night or this morning. He said that him and Madonna are friends, and it was just a joke. I'm like, weird joke. I don't mm-hmm. know. Yeah, maybe just don't.
Right. I will say his presence on social media is really good, though.
Really like, good.
Mm-hmm. That aside, everything he tweets is, he's just got the mind, that like perfect Gen Z mind that
yeah.
like.
Yeah, he was found on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, he was on Twitter because he was a barb.
Yeah, he was like a Stan account.
And they are like next level.
I know.
Like, you can't really talk slick to them. They will like literally end your life.
Have you ever been found yourself on the bad side of that as like an internet of a person? Barb? Yeah.
No, luckily I know how to like avoid the landmines of that kind of stuff. I am not a barb, but I do respect the Nikki Arts. I am not a huge Beyonce fan, but I also like respect her, and I like, you know, she's got great songs, she's really talented, but I am not part of the beehive. But sure. I know how to like avoid those, you know what I mean?
You are creating your own beehive in a way.
True. but yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure someone's come at me up on Twitter, I'm sure, but I don't really tweet a lot. Yeah. I retweet.
Yeah, Instagram is your playground.
Instagram is my medium.
Yes.
Yes. And that's easy because I could just easily block people or just ask them not to follow my stories. It's so
and
easy.
You like don't see the criticism if they're replying because you have to go to like that special folder, right?
I guess. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then also the thing is that the great thing about stories that I love is that it's so out of the way. Like it's off the beaten path. Like you have to go out of your way to be annoyed by my content because you have to click on my circle to get there. So you're going out of your way to be annoyed by whatever I said. It's not even like on your feed. So that's why I feel like I can like be freer there. Then I don't really feel as like free tweeting or even I don't even really post on the actual feed.
You know? Twitter's scary these
it's
days.
Totally, oh yeah. The gay Twitter is like the gay Twitter. It's insane. Especially since New York has opened.
The funniest though was gay Twitter during lockdown when like people were outing people for like going to sex parties and all that shit.
That kind of
drama, because I was far from involved, was very fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, because that's like things that I didn't even know really like happened during COVID. I was like, oh wow, that's a thing.
Okay, oh, that's happening. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. And then especially now that things have reopened, I mean, a lot of the conversation on gay Twitter has turned into people argue, like someone takes a photo at Thai Tea. I'm sure you've heard of Thai Tea, right? And then it's like just happens to be a screenshot, looks all white, but it is actually quite a diverse party. They're going back and forth about it. And I'm like, can people just like either shut up, go to the party or not go to the party? Why are we on Twitter arguing about this?
Right.
So it's actually still Pride. You guys are coming down online and you need to like just go to work.
I know. Exactly.
You guys please come down silently. You're freaking me out. It's a lot. I think everyone also thinks they're like mini celebrities on there too. It's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Everyone thinks that like they have, just because they have like 2,000 followers, that they're the shit.
Yeah. It's like insane.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just talking about this New York City. It's probably going to black out tonight. I've got my AC on. It's staying on. It's not coming off.
It is miserable outside. It's like no other. I'm still sweating from being out 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
My AC, I think it's like overworking itself because it doesn't feel like it's working as hard as it should be. But then we're contributing to the problem. We're going to cause the blackout.
Listen, the way I look at it is that like they asked everybody to please turn off their ACs or use less electricity. I turned off like a lamp. But listen, we already played this roundabout with New Yorkers when I did something and I thought everybody else was going to do the same thing last year. And it turns out everybody else ended up in fucking Cancun and I stayed my ass home.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not doing that again. So how about I leave my AC on and you do what you want to do and I'll just hope for the best now. Because
exactly.
I'd rather freeze now than be hot, and I'd rather just burn up later when I have no choice. How about that?
Exactly. 2019, there was a blackout in part of Manhattan, like on the Upper West in Hell's Kitchen. And it was my birthday and I was having a Christmas in July birthday party at a bar in Manhattan that we like took over and it totally blacked out. So here I am in a Santa costume in the middle of a blackout in Manhattan.
Oh my God.
And like people are like directing traffic because the traffic lights are all out. Anyways, the bar let us stay and continue. And then as we were leaving, literally as we're walking out the door, all the lights and everything came back on. And All I Want for Christmas Is You started playing. And it was a beautiful moment. Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Get on video.
No, because I was like, it was a blackout. We were veering towards blackout.
You're like, I'm trying to preserve my iPhone battery.
Yeah, exactly. So blackouts can be magical if you play them right.
They can be romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Today it was like 3,000 something residents are without power already.
Oh, geez.
The majority of them are actually in Williamsburg. I'm in North Williamsburg, Greenpoint, but I seem fine. I'm technically Greenpoint.
Oh no, that Williamsburg is the next neighborhood over for me. So shit,
there you go. Yeah,
she's coming for both of us.
The power grids work in a weird way too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like completely. It's not necessarily like just because you're next to. I don't think it. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what happened with Hurricane Sandy when part of Manhattan went down. I just missed that too. But people were without power for like a week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking insane.
I know. Well, let's hope.
If you guys ever are interested, a really good documentary about blackouts, or rather I think it was 1977.
Mm-hmm.
There was the big blackout in New York in the middle of the summer. It was like during the summer. It was during the summer of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Son of Sam. It's called American Experience Blackout, and it's on Prime last time I checked. I just randomly watched it like last year. It was so good.
Oh, wow.
It's like all these different accounts of what happened because, you know, obviously rioting started happening. And also it explained what happened to, you know, the people on the Upper East Side. They were like all partying at like skyscrapers and they just kept the party going. But down beneath on the city below, there was like looting and stuff like that. It's really interesting. It's an interesting cross-section of what happens in a city like New York when something like that happens and kind of an archaic time. You know what I mean?
I mean, look at what happened in New York last year with I think it could be similar with the pandemic. It's like,
oh yeah,
all the rich people left and then left the rest of us to like fend for ourselves, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of rich people to leave us fend for ourselves on a show on New York, Real Housewives of New York. I actually watched it this morning. It's last night's episode, right? Did it air last night?
Yes. The one where they went to the party in Harlem.
Ugh. Wait, how are you in general? Because you guys cover this on a weekly basis, but what is your like overall take on?
So we're in an interesting time for Roni, I feel like, because we're only dealing with five women, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And you're introducing the first Black woman to this cast, a cast of people like Ramona Singer.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shit hitting the fan and shit happening. I think like the big criticism I've seen from a lot of like Bravo people, not necessarily people that I like or follow, are like, everything's so heavy, everything's so serious, yada, yada, yada. But yeah,
that's like a special demographic of Bravo fans that just feel like this is an escape for me and I want to get out of, you know, I don't want to watch this for real life. And it's like, well.
Right. Where I'm like, okay, so this is called Real Housewives. This was being filmed back in November, right before the election, when things were really contentious in this country. Mm-hmm. So that's going to play out on screen. And I think it's playing out in a really interesting way right now. I like Ebony. I thought that the party was cool. I like the idea of the party. I think it's interesting now that Ramona is bringing in Bershawn, and I hope that she's more of a presence permanently because we need more women in the room.
I have many thoughts.
Okay, go for it.
I hate the season, but I'm watching it because I love what Ebony brings. And I also, even though I think that Leah's kind of like her presence on the show isn't as light as it was, I think that she still is a valuable cast member on the show for what she brings. I think that it's just like you have these like really interesting women, but like they're being squandered because we have like we cannot let go of these things from these honestly like relics of the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Luann to me, I think would be really important one to go. I don't think she's really given anything since her arrest and her divorce. I think after that, she kind of checked out and she just talks about her show. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I agree. She phones it in. I don't think that she needs to be on the show anymore. Maybe she could come back like three seasons from now. And maybe if she's got something else going on, I think Sonia still has something because she gets along really well with whoever is new on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Sonia
to me feels like the glue of the current cast. Like we need her there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ramona. I get why she's a draw for so many people because she's so recognizable, but I could take her or leave her. I don't really need her on the show anymore. And I think we need so many new women. I was going to say something about last night. I just feel like this, it's really interesting that New York, Real Housewives of New York, of all the shows that have been integrated, because at this point, pretty much every show has had integration except for OC and New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. But they deal with it the worst. It's like, it's really interesting because it's like such a cosmopolitan city, but like they are dealing with it so terribly at every turn.
It's just like the Upper East Side bubble thing, I guess, is realer than I anticipated in a lot of ways. Like,
They're doing worse than Dallas, and that says a lot.
Yeah. You know? Though Dallas, the stuff that happened online was pretty bad, but we won't go down that deep end. Yeah, it's just so interesting and weird. And like, we're in a really like a growing pains time for this particular franchise in like a major way. Whereas like Beverly Hills, which has been boring and sucked for the past several seasons, now is interesting again. It's so weird.
You know, a lot of people are saying that Beverly Hills is really interesting right now, but I mean, beyond Kathy, who I find a total joy to watch on television, I could watch her do anything, but that's not enough for me still. I still think that it's kind of like there's a lot of stuff that has to be improved. I think Lisa Rinna is overstayed her welcome.
For sure. I think that what the editors are doing around Erica, pulling out every piece of footage of her talking about her wealth or her relationship with Tom, is super interesting in the scope of like what's going on in the outside world right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they didn't necessarily do that with Teresa or her stuff, you know, because I don't know if the timeline works the same way, you know, like, I mean, I don't believe Teresa was actually currently filming when her charges came about, right?
They were, but it was like, there was
that went on for so many years.
It's hard to remember, but
they didn't do it as like flagrantly as Beverly Hills is doing to Erica Jane.
And I think it was like Teresa was their star, so they wanted
didn't want to make her likable.
They wanted to protect her in a way, because then she went to prison, they stopped the show until she got out.
So yeah, I was saying before that though, New York has somehow handled the racial integration of their show the worst of all of the franchises, and it's so interesting that it's them. New Jersey, I don't think, is going to be getting a real like integration anytime soon. Word on the street is that there's a new wife. Her name is, what was her name? Met her, but I forget her name actually. But I know she's married to a black man.
Okay. Oh, she's married to that guy.
Tiki Barber. Barber. He's an ex-football player.
And they met when she was the babysitter to his children.
Really? Okay. I didn't know her backstory. Didn't ask her that, but
I think it was a big, big tabloid thing like 12 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I wonder if she'll make an interesting wife.
I wonder. I mean, that cast to me, it's like, it's perfect. And it has been perfect for the past few years. And it's like,
but I think they do need someone else now, because it's getting to the point where it's like strict sides and
teams.
Dolores can only do so much go between.
I know. And she's always
the glue.
She's the glue. She's one of my favorite housewives ever.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. We did a ranking like for our Patreon or whatever. And because I ranked her so high, it got like kind of skewed. So she ended up being like number two in our ranking, which I'm happy with.
Yeah. Early on in this podcast, we used to do a lot of rankings. And I think on one of the first episodes, we did the best friend of across any franchise. It ended up being Vicky Gunvalson.
Oh, because she became a friend of? That's so interesting.
Because she became a friend of, and she was a better friend of than an actual wife to me. And I was like, because think about it, really so much revolved around her.
Even I know.
When she was a friend, you know? It was kind of amazing. Second was Marlo.
Of course.
I think third was Danielle Staub, actually, too.
Okay. I think I would put Kim G in the top. In top the top
five, at least.
Yeah. Five, for sure. Just because she was an early on friend of, and she like helped.
And kind of light.
Yeah, and kind of light. It just was like, it was fun drama. She was just meddling a little bit.
Yeah,
she'd definitely be up there. Kim D also. I've spoken to Kim D on the phone a couple times.
Yeah, when you mentioned
because I ordered the posh calendar, like the Christmas calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And she answers the phone when you call to order it.
Is Posh still up and running?
I don't know. I heard it closed during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's like hawking her wares on Instagram these days.
Probably cheaper.
Yeah, for sure.
The place was like a shoebox, so.
I know.
How much could rent be?
I know.
Like I want all of Route 6, so.
It's sad. There's a sadness. Remember when like someone died in her car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like
and her son stole the car.
Yeah. Wild.
Wild. I can't wait till Jersey comes back, but they're filming right now. So we'll see. But no one black on there. So, but I could really use some new shows. I mean, like some new Housewives. There was some talk about, well, Miami's actually filming currently.
Yes. And I'm surprised that how heavy of the former cast it is. Cause I heard that they were going to mostly revamp, but there's like at least like four of them in the mix, maybe five.
Well, I want to talk. Let's talk about Beverly. Let's talk about Beverly Hills more and Miami on the bonus episode. We're going to hop over there, the B side. Tell the people where to listen to your podcast. Tell them about anything that you've got going on and where to follow you guys on social media.
Just follow us at Come Through Queen on Twitter, at Come Through Queen Podcast on Instagram, and find us wherever you listen to any podcast you listen to.
How many years has it been?
Ooh, it's been 84 years. It's been 5 years. We started in 2016.
Okay.
Wow.
I was on an episode.
Yeah, you were on an episode right before the pandemic, actually, I think.
Oh, was I? It must have. It was chilly out, I guess. It was cold.
Yeah, because they moved to that new house that we recorded in right before the pandemic. So you were right then, yeah.
I came in and dropped some tea about Garcelle.
You did. I remember. You'll have to go listen to it.
You guys tune into the bonus episode of this. You can subscribe to that by going to patreon.com/thebelist. You know where to find me on social media. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the B side. Bye.
Bye.